Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 9:51 British Summer Time. Today is May 2nd. Today was another eventful day in stock markets. It started off in China with really quite a strong performance following 2 days, two sessions where it was closed for Labor Day holidays. Positive action was followed through into the Hong Kong session, where the market was stronger by over 1% on the Hang Seng, and the 8 shares also did really quite well. The Nikkei was reasonably steady. It was up about a third of 1%. The ASX was relatively unchanged, but that was following on a very strong performance yesterday, and the banking sector has broken upwards out of this comparatively lengthy little range and is pushing back up now into the overhead trading area. I've done a rather extensive review of Australian shares in here today, and the defining characteristic here is that we have a pretty broad-based move in quite a large number of markets, and even those that have perhaps been leading to the downside, such as some of the retailers, are beginning to show signs that they are finding support. David Jones, in particular, is beginning to show signs of type 2 base formation development. That generally ends with a massive reaction against the prevailing trend, where some of the shorts are stopped out. And this is a share that still yields well in excess of 10%, albeit that the reliability of the dividend has certainly been questioned over the last couple of months. Meijer is also looking like it is in the process of building support. The REITs sector in Australia and in New Zealand, we're seeing that a considerable number are breaking out of 2 and 3 year bases. They generally have really quite good yields, but the fact that they've been spending such an incredible amount of time just going sideways in a very tight range and are now starting to move to positions of outperformance is certainly notable. And what is interesting in comparing Australia with New Zealand is that very similar sectors are moving in both. But as a result of the Christchurch earthquakes, New Zealand monetary policy has been quite a bit easier than Australia's for over a year. And the result has been that even though the sectors in both countries are doing really quite similarly well, the trends in New Zealand are a bit more advanced, and perhaps they give an indication of what the performance in some of those Australian sectors might look like if the RBA continues on its rate cutting program. And when we look at the yield curve spread, it looks like it's turning. When we look at the banking sector, it's leading to the upside and breaking out of a relatively lengthy range. A large number of Australian shares have got really very attractive dividends, both on a national comparison, regional comparison, or global comparison. And that makes them attractive to investors, if for no other reason than compound interest. So the Australian market has been a bit of a wallflower. It could benefit both from the easing of monetary policy domestically and also from a renewal of interest in the Chinese markets. And David has written about that in Comment of the Day today. The ASEAN region has been comparatively immune from the corrective phase that has gripped the majority of markets over the last month. A number hit new highs in here today. They're becoming increasingly overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. They're susceptible to a decline or a reversionary process back towards those rising means. But any pullback is likely to be limited to a reversion. And a reversion would probably represent a favorable risk-adjusted entry point for some of those markets. There were South Africa is also notable in here today because it hit a new all-time high. The Dow Jones is notable because it hit a new recovery high yesterday. The comparison between what's happening in the USA and what's happening in Europe, just in terms of the stock markets, is also interesting because the European banking sector came under additional pressure in here today. It's right down, testing its lows. The Italian and Spanish markets were both down in excess of 2.5%. They were the worst performing markets in Europe today. The FTSE 100 was down about 0.9%. The DAX was down 0.75%. When one looks at the USA, the S&P 500 banks had a very impressive day yesterday. They're outperforming the diversified financials, and they are pressuring the upper side of their ranges. So their performance couldn't be more different from the European banking sector. The Dow Jones hitting a new recovery high yesterday is impressive. It was pretty steady in here today. It held on to the majority of its gain. It was unchanged. It was down just 10 points. The S&P is a pretty similar story. It hasn't quite posted a new high yet, but it's reasonably steady in the region of its recovery highs. The Brazilian market continues to hold in this 62,500 point area, whereas we're seeing that a number of the Asian currencies have been appreciating in line with some of those ASEAN stock markets. The Brazilian currency is weakening, and that's a characteristic it has in common with India, where the rupee has been on a persistent trend of underperformance relative to the US dollar. In India, there are serious concerns about corruption and about the ability of the bureaucracy to manage an increasingly diverse and challenging economy. Brazil has the benefit that it is probably the world's one of the world's biggest commodity producers, and it has a vibrant middle class, but it continues to need to demonstrate that there is an improvement in governance. They have a vested interest in having a weaker currency, but that weaker currency could have a negative impact relative to other markets on the stock market, and the stock market has generally been really quite range-bound. The Mexican peso has been a bit steadier, and the Mexican index, while not hitting new all-time highs, isn't that far off it either, and it has been in really quite a tight consolidation for the last month in the region of its peak, and looks more likely than not to be able to extend a move to the upside. When we look at some of these commodities, they all had a bit of a weaker day in here today. Gold was down by $8. It paired its decline. It finished out the day in the region of 1653. Its low was closer to 1646. It really does need to get back above that $1,700 level to really start to send the signal to investors that the demand component is back in control of this market. Silver was down by 27. It closed out the day at 3066. The low of the day was at 3041. It's been really very volatile. It's been range-bound for much of the last few months, and it needs to do more to really send a clear signal that demand is back into a position of dominance. The industrial metal complex was all a bit weaker in here today. They've lost downward momentum. We've seen upward dynamics starting to come into some of these industrial metals. The action today was just a little bit softer. There wasn't anything in the way of downward dynamics in the industrial metal complex. And the industrial metal miners also demonstrate that they have found at least short-term support. And provided they can hold their recent lows and or progressions of higher reaction lows where those are evident, then the upside can probably continue to be given the benefit of the doubt. Both gilts and eurobonds were stronger in here today by about 2/3 of a full point. Yields on both those instruments are back down to towards historic lows. This is a potential area of support in terms of the yield, but a clear downward dynamic in terms of the price action would really be required to check some potential for additional upside. They are a bit overbought in the short term, but evidence will be required to suggest that that resistance is creeping in at current levels. And US treasuries continue to push back up towards their highs. They're currently almost at 143. The peak is closer to about 146. In addressing the US government bond market, the Merrill Lynch Total Return 10-year plus index is really worth monitoring, because it's probably one of the most consistent trends out there. We have data going back to 1983. There's a progression of higher reaction lows evident for nearly 30 years. And it's found support in the region of its 200-day moving average on successive occasions. When that eventually, when that trend becomes inconsistent, we'll have clear evidence that the secular bull market in US treasuries is over. There are a large number of arguments for why it should be ending. There are a large number of arguments suggesting that we're in the latter stages of what has been a spectacular bull market. But I believe that that index will give us clear evidence when this market has indeed topped out. Elsewhere in the commodity complex, corn was weaker today by 17.5. Wheat by 28, soybeans, which has been an outperformer in the sector, down by 18 cents. So we are getting a little bit of additional selling pressure in some of those soft commodities. Sugar continues to extend its decline. In the oil seeds, palm oil, which has been trending consistently, has begun to lose its uptrend consistency. It's a bit overbought relative to the 200-day moving average. It's looking more likely than not that it's going to have a reversionary process. Oil was relatively unchanged in here today, and natural gas, having posted an equal-sized rally, natural gas has rallied by approximately 50 cents on successive occasions in the course of this downtrend. It ran into a little bit of resistance today in the region of $2.40. It closed out the day at $2.25. What natural gas really needs is a higher reaction low to suggest that demand is returning to dominance beyond the short term. If we start to see that, then we'll have a better indication that the what has been an incredible downtrend is reaching an end. There are some fundamental factors that make $2 natural gas uneconomic, particularly from the standpoint of all that unconventional supply. We've had a mass migration of rigs away from shale gas towards shale oil. Of course, shale oil also produces a large amount of natural gas, but those facts don't have a great deal of influence when we have a momentum move in terms of the price. So we need to see that higher reaction low. We need to see a sustained move above $2.50 to both suggest that demand is returning at a progressively higher level and breaking the progression of lower rally highs and putting in a larger rally than we've seen in the course of what has been a remarkably consistent downtrend. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and wish all the best to all of you.